Hey, I'm Brian Teller. I work in DevOps and SRE, and I run Teller's Tech. Ship It Weekly is where I filter the noise and pull out what actually matters when you're the one running infrastructure and owning reliability. If something's just hype, we'll call it hype. But if it changes how you operate, we'll talk about it. Most weeks, it's a quick news recap. In between those, I drop interview episodes with folks across the DevOps world. This is one of those interviews. Today, I'm joined by Eric Pate. He's a cloud and DevOps engineer, has a background in building and running enterprise web and ERP systems, and he has a really grounded approach to leveling up through hands-on projects. Eric?
First off, Brian, thanks for having me. I appreciate
it. Yeah, no worries.
I'm excited about this conversation because my DevOps journey definitely hasn't been a straight line. I come from a software engineering background. I have spent years building web applications. And I must say that at some point in my career, I realized I was fascinated about cloud technology and how things run in the cloud beyond just shipping code, you know. So I'm looking forward to sharing what has worked for me, what hasn't, and hopefully a few lessons that can help someone else who is on a similar path as me.
I appreciate it. That sounds awesome. It's interesting because I started as a developer, I guess, too. I worked tech support, but then I did some like early web development and kind of jumped into DevOps, kind of a lot of the same way, a different industry, but a lot of the same way you did. So that's very
interesting. Exactly, Brian.
So can you just tell us who you are and what you do day to day?
Well, like I said, I am a cloud and DevOps engineer with expertise in AWS, Linux, CI/CD automation, containerization, infrastructure as code. Basically, coming from a software engineering background, so I principally develop web applications and then ship through cloud technology. And yes.
Oh, that's very cool. And so what system, I guess most of the systems, are they AWS based, like most of the cloud systems, or?
Yes, they are. They are. So coming from my previous background, all right, so we develop PHP-based applications. And previously, we host the applications on web servers, not cloud platforms, so to speak.
Gotcha.
But
yeah.
But then with the advent of cloud technology and the things and with cloud, there has been the need to migrate from traditional deployment methods to cloud technology.
And what made you realize when you were doing this full stack web development, what made you realize that writing code is only part of the picture and you wanted to dive into DevOps as well?
Right. So let me say this, that I found myself more curious about modern methodologies and technologies around code deployment and mm-hmm. how applications scale and remain reliable in production environments. Yes.
Very cool. What was the hardest part of that transition going from being a developer to touching DevOps stuff? Was it like networking, CI/CD, just AWS, Linux? Like what was the part that you found to be the hardest?
Well, Brian, that's a great question, Brian. How does level up for me, I would say, was familiarizing myself with key DevOps concepts and with the stack of technologies that come with it, i.e. source code management using Git, package management using Docker, building CI/CD pipelines, using tools such as Jenkins, GitHub Actions, container orchestration using Kubernetes, mm-hmm. you know, mastering cloud services on platforms like AWS, Google Cloud, and also, you know, getting a grip on infrastructure as code, you know, using mm-hmm. Terraform Ansible, and of course, implementing continuous monitoring and observability with tools, you know, such as Prometheus, Grafana, and things of the sort. I must say that, you know, beyond the tools also, another hardest level up for me was the shift in mindset, all right? The mindset shift, yeah. i.e., you know, moving from, let me say, I know how this process works on my local host mm-hmm. to how that same process behaves in production at scale.
Yeah.
Now that's a big jump, you know, that's a big jump, which requires grit and a lot of hands-on experience, hands-on practice, and also a grip on the technology that you're working with. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, those are two really good points. A, there's just a lot to know. When you talk DevOps, that is just such a wide breadth of tools and technologies.
Exactly.
And then the other side of it, Yeah, testing locally, great, it works. Then you scale that up to 10,000 users, 100,000 mm-hmm. users, a million, completely different complexities than you're going to have running that locally. And things are going to show up that you didn't even think of when you were down in the 10, 100 early user stage.
Exactly, Brian.
Yeah. So was there anything that clicked first for you, or were there things that took longer than expected as far as like learning, like AWS? Because I like, speaking of like DevOps being wide, AWS has a ton of different technologies and a ton of different ways of doing the same thing. So was there anything like in particular that maybe clicked earlier or was harder to learn over time?
That's a great question again, Brian. I would say this, that what really clicked for me was realizing that DevOps sits at what I will call the intersection of, you know, software engineering mm-hmm. and systems thinking and business impact. What you're doing ultimately and largely impacts on business decisions. So I enjoyed solving problems like, why is this deployment failing? Or why does this service degrade and that say load? Mm-hmm. And how do we automate this so it never breaks again? You know, that shift in mindset, just from writing features to owning the process, owning the system, owning reliability and delivery, you know, actually pulled me in. Yes. So that's it for me. Now, Brian, what didn't click for me, like you said earlier, all right, was the sheer breadth and depth of new tools and technologies I had to learn. You know, you are inundated with lots of tools and technologies to learn. Technologies in respect of cloud, in respect of networking. You need to know the ins and outs of Linux, CI/CD pipelines, observability. You know, it can feel overwhelming, really overwhelming. But early on, I tried to learn everything at once, and that, I would say, was my mistake. Mm. All right, you need to progress slowly. You need to trust the process, follow along slowly. So progress really accelerated when I focused on the fundamentals and learned by building, you know, and breaking things on my home lab. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, just focusing in one area and then building on that.
Exactly, Brian.
So looking back at your background, you've worked on enterprise-grade systems for big organizations. What changes when it's not a side project, kind of like we talked about earlier, running locally in dev? What changes between that and like mission-critical like enterprise-grade systems? Like what are some things maybe you have to worry about that you wouldn't in a local development environment?
All right. So Brian, my first instance in deploying a mission critical application was an online voting system.
Okay.
For a school.
Cool.
And yes, and you can imagine that the system works fine on your machine, mm-hmm. and then on the moment you have to go live or deploy on production, mm-hmm. all right, the results you are getting is entirely different.
Yeah.
Users are trying to access the system and they cannot. And you know, elections are contentious matters, and that you cannot afford to let your users lose trust in your system. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a great learning curve for me, that mm-hmm. you really have to be prepared for such instances, that you need to have some virtual environments where you can literally test what you have built and you want to deploy. So for some mission critical systems, I have been privileged to work with teams that have deployed online voting systems. We have deployed some enterprise resource planning platform for institutions like the Food and Agri Organization of the United Nations, the Ghana office to be specific. So that platform encapsulates everything to make their business processes work efficiently. So there are modules on procurement, modules on human resource management, modules on financial management and things like that. These are mission critical systems which you can't afford to let them fail.
Yeah.
So for me, they have been a great learning experience for me practicing on or working on these systems. Yes, Brian.
So what did that era teach you that actually helped you in DevOps now? Like reliability mindset or like working with stakeholders or like change management? What was the most valuable, I guess, part part of that.
Brian, you literally mentioned everything that was a learning experience for me, right? Okay. Yeah. From system reliability, okay, to change management, right? It was a great learning experience for me that I'm for users. Once your system is unreliable, it's not available, it's not giving them the expected results, they begin to lose trust in the system. Mm. And then also the change management process is very critical and very important. There has to be user acceptance. You need to tag them slowly and make sure that they learn or they get comfortable with the system. And so lots of sensitization, stakeholder engagements, lots of consultations. All right, you run campaigns, you run some communication campaigns here and there to ensure that there is user acceptance. All right, there's user acceptance, because no matter how good your system is, if users do not accept the system is 100% bound to fail.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Okay, so switching gears, you posted about your home lab on the go, which I believe was a Mac Mini. I'm just curious, why that approach? Why a Mac Mini?
Mac Mini. All right. So let me just say this, that I purchased this Mac Mini just some time ago, and I said to myself, well, why don't I just turn this into my home lab? Mm-hmm. All right, dedicated specifically for practicing, you know, for honing my tech skills. So I own a laptop, and I also have this home lab, mm-hmm, dedicated specifically to practicing my DevOps skills. And so with this platform, I am not afraid to break things down. All right,
for sure, yeah.
To fail in there, make all the mistakes. All right, to make all the mistakes that you need to make, mm-hmm, while learning as well. Yeah, so this home lab is dedicated to help me practice my DevOps skills and also to hone my tech skills as well.
Very cool. So are you doing like Docker pipelines, monitoring, like break fix?
Exactly. What are you... So just last night, so I decided to containerize a static version of my website. All right. So I dockerized the website, all right, built the image on that platform. All right. I pushed that Docker image to Docker Hub, right? Mm-hmm. And then I went on also to run the Docker run command. Right, so which literally converted the image to a container, and then I ran the application from the web browser, you know, so localhost port 8080, and that gave my website. So I used that home lab, all right, to practice writing of Docker files, all right, CI/CD pipelines, constructing my Docker compose files, you know, building my Jenkins files. And so you would be seeing a post for me very shortly detailing the process that went through containerizing the static version of my website.
Very cool.
Yeah, so basically that home lab helps me practice without guardrails. All mm-hmm. right. Make the mistakes. All right. Do my debugging in there, build Docker images, run Docker images, run Jenkins files, you know, build my Jenkins files, run CI/CD pipelines, push my image to Docker Hub, pull from Docker Hub, and things like that.
Oh, very cool. Well, I'll look forward to that post. And I think I think that just goes to show you that you don't need fancy hardware either for a home lab. Just take whatever you have or what you've used previously, or, you know, if you have an old Mac Mini or whatever, you don't need like a big rack and stack server setup. Like you don't need a bunch
exactly.
of
you don't
big,
need
fancy machines.
Bunch of-
Yeah.
Exactly, Brian. Exactly, Brian.
So shifting gears a little bit from the home lab, and we talked about this at the top too a little bit, but I'm just curious. So we talked about how the tools are endless, right? You have Terraform, yeah. Kubernetes, Jenkins, Prometheus, Grafana, Ansible. How do you choose? How do you personally go by choosing what to learn next?
All right. So this has been my structure. All right. So I begin with source code management. All right. So So the basics for me is very critical. Mm-hmm. You need to be familiar with the basics. You need to have a stronghold on the basics, which is Linux. All right. So things to do with Linux commands, mastering bash scripting are very important and very, 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 very critical, because at the core of DevOps is Linux. You cannot be a DevOps engineer and not know Linux. Linux is very critical. So I focus on the fundamentals, which is Linux. And then I move on to source code management tools, you know, like Git. And then I progress into package management using Docker, right? And then I progress to CI/CD pipelines using Jenkins. So the idea is, how do I use automation, all right, to build the Docker image and then push it to a repository, all right? Okay, and then from the Docker, from the CI/CD pipelines and practice, all right, so I move on to the cloud platform, all right? So that now after pushing to the Docker repository, all right, it has to be pulled onto your cloud platform. Now we have cloud services also that can serve as your Docker repository. All right. So the various cloud platforms have services that can serve as, you know, a Docker repository. And then I move on to learning infrastructure as code. All right. But in between that one, so from Docker to the cloud platform, my process would be to learn Kubernetes next. And then after learning Kubernetes, you learn Terraform, okay, or infrastructure as code. So basically Terraform, Ansible, and then you move on to implementing continuous monitoring and observability with, you know, tools like Prometheus and Grafana.
Gotcha.
So for me, that has been my structure. Well, some people have their structure, but for me, at the heart of DevOps has been learning, has been to learn, ensure that you get the fundamentals right, ensure that you have a good grip on Linux, and then you progress from there.
And then learn the entire, through the process, learn the entire pipeline and follow it through. It sounds like, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Makes sense. Brian. Exactly, Brian.
So what are your thoughts on certifications versus like doing your own projects? What do you think is more valuable?
Well, for certifications, I would say this, that's a very dicey matter.
Yeah, it is.
That's a dicey matter. Right. Well, here is it. Hands down, I would say real projects would always make the big difference for anyone. All right, certifications and courses will help build structure, but running real workloads, you know, setting up CI/CD pipelines, deploying to cloud infrastructure, breaking things, monitoring them, fixing things, you know, that's where everything clicks.
Yeah.
That's where everything clicks. Yes. So certifications help. All right. Like I said earlier, certifications and courses would help you build structure. But, you know, hands down, I would say real projects would always make the big difference. Real projects and hands-on projects will make the real difference.
Because you have to fail, right? You have to learn to fail and be okay with that.
You have to learn to fail. You have to learn to fail. You have to learn to fail. For me, there have been several times where I have been just tried to organize a Docker Compose file. Mm-hmm. As basic as getting it to run successfully, Brian, and it's been a challenge. And so I put that file down, go to sleep, come back the following morning, and it starts to, and surprisingly, things begin to click for me, all right? And then where you realize that you made mistake, oh, I made the mistake here, I made the mistake there, I made this mistake. Just 2 weeks back, all right, one Docker Compose file that I wrote just wasn't working. Only for me to realize there was a dash I had introduced somewhere that shouldn't have been there. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great learning experience for me. So I would say that hands down, real practice and real projects would always make a difference.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think certifications, boot camps have their place, but
have their place.
As a foundational, a structure, school, same thing, but you need that hands-on learning. At some point, you need to actually dive in and be comfortable with failing, because that's okay. Like,
exactly.
You know, it's okay. You're going to stumble a little bit, and that's okay. So wrapping up a bit, what's one piece of advice you would give someone trying to break into DevOps in 2026? Where should they start? What should they do?
All right. So what I would say is this, that let me say this, that I would just say focus on depth and not hype. Focus on depth and not hype. So I have found out that employers, you know, care more about how you think and solve problems, right? How you think and solve problems than knowing every tool there is, all right? How you think and how you solve problems, all right? Because at the heart of that all, that is what DevOps really is. Simplifying things, automating processes, and then shipping code faster and efficiently, all right? And so how you think. Now, my other advice would be this, that consistency would always beat intensity, all right? That consistency would always beat intensity. You don't need to learn everything in 3 months. You need to show up steadily, all right? You need to show up. You need to have a routine. If you tell yourself that you would dedicate 2 hours each day to learning DevOps, do that, all right? You need to show steady progress. You need to build, you need to document, you need to reflect, you need to repeat, all right? And it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail, all right? Do this repeatedly. And I would say also that slow down and be consistent. You don't need to master everything overnight. Just show up, build something small and keep going. And also one thing I would say also would be this, that learn to share your journey, all right? Learn to write, learn to post, learn to talk about what you are learning, because it's only through that process that it reinforces your knowledge. It creates visibility as well. And then opportunities often come from when people see the way you think and not just what's on your resume, the way you think, the way you solve problems, the way you handle challenges. That would be for me, Brian.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot. All right. So where should people follow you and what should they check out?
All right, Brian. So people can follow me on LinkedIn and then also my personal website, which is ericpartey.com. ericpartey.com. I'm also on Facebook and also on Instagram. And so I'm primarily on LinkedIn and I have a website, ericpartey.com. Yes, Brian.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Well, thank you, Eric Partey, for coming on and being on Ship It Weekly. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. It's been great. Thank you.
All right. That's the interview with Eric. Quick reminder on the format. Ship It Weekly is still the weekly news recap, and I'm dropping these guest combos in between. If you want to catch both, hit follow or subscribe wherever you are listening. And if this episode was useful, share it with a coworker or your on-call buddy and leave a quick rating or review. It's annoying how much that stuff actually helps the show. We'll be back next week with the regular news episode. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.